Among the more popular police crime-solving tools in the movies and on TV anyway are super CSI coroners, future crime predictors, as in the movie Minority Report, and just plain psychics.
Ooh, I am getting it. And it is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm having a vision.
I can dig it.
It's not a psych out, but police forces are using the ultra-fast brains of computers merging large public information databases to bring big data tools to threat assessment for police officers called to a potential crime scene. A system called Beware, a product from a company called Intrado, can quickly assemble a vast information profile on someone simply by inputting an address or a license plate. Some versions of Beware can rank people using color codes from red to green in a threat index. In Fresno, California, cops have embraced the Beware system publicly. Other police forces around the nation are keeping this new capability secret. Fresno Chief Jerry Dyer says the color codes were too hot to handle for privacy alert citizens and politicians in Fresno, but he says Beware is here to stay.
We are generally driven by addresses. When calls come in, officers are sent to specific addresses to handle certain types of situations. So this Beware system, it targets or it's address specific, and it gives information regarding who might be there and what their history is, and allows for immediate access to it for law enforcement so that we can get that into the hands of the officers real time.
And when you say their history, are you talking just about, paperwork history, resumes, or is it, something more subtle, like, got into a fight at a McDonald's or something?
No, it's criminal history that's accessible through the courts, and it's also all commercial records. Same information that government agencies, healthcare, insurance, private investigators have access to. The difference is it merges all of these databases into one database that is automatically queried for certain types of calls, and that query is completed within about 30 seconds so that information is available to operators in our real-time crime center so that they can look at it very, very quickly and then provide information to the officers should the officers need that information to handle that call more safely.
Could Beware pull up a rant on Facebook or some social media site?
They do have the ability to monitor social media, and they utilize that as part of their threat assessment score in the event that there were threats made perhaps over a Facebook post or Twitter. And then what that is provided to the operator in the center is a link. If need be, the operator can access that link and see what that information is to see if it's helpful or not. And if it is, then, again, that would be provided to the officer. I have to tell you, we've been testing the site for a year within our center, and there's only been a couple of times where social media links have come up in the call. And we have chosen at this point to not use that particular information. In fact, we've asked them to turn off that feature on our system because we do not want to be misled. And secondly, we have to ensure that whatever we're doing with our system meets a comfort level of our council and our community.
I hear what you're saying, that it's public information and that it's not unusual, secret information or anything like that. But nevertheless, if you have the ability to merge data and, get an enormous amount of data in a very, very short amount of time, it changes the information in some sense. I mean, you can act on it in a way that you couldn't act on it if you were just doing it in a library.
Right. And for law enforcement officers, we're used to receiving information and processing it very quickly. I remember when a 911 call is made to our dispatcher, they're taking information very, very quickly in an emergency situation, typing that information in the call and giving it to the officers. As I've said publicly, officers are expected to know the unknown and to see the unseen and then make split-second decisions with limited facts, knowing full well they're going to be second-guessed after the fact by those people that have all the facts. So it's my responsibility as a chief to get as much information into their hands to take away some of the unknown and some of the unseen so that they can make better informed decisions.
You've been second-guessed by some, big government suspicious politicians in your neck of the woods. How did that go?
Well, I think most of it had to do with the fact that as we were testing this data, we did not have good conversations with certain council members, and they were receiving information from people that were uninformed about what this system really provides. And quite frankly, the biggest concern was the social media monitoring and how that played into a threat assessment, and then the color coding and how that played into our judgments. You know, it's ironic in today's age, we end up with people that really want law enforcement to protect them from gang members, to protect them from terrorist attacks. But sometimes we don't want to give law enforcement the tools that are needed in order for them to do that. We look back here at our terrorist attack that occurred in San Bernardino. There was widespread criticism of law enforcement's use of armored rescue vehicles and militarization of police. Yet we saw firsthand in San Bernardino how helpful those rescue vehicles were when three of them were utilized to take down the suspects.
Isn't there the problem, though, with the guilty until proven innocent here? If you get a threat indication that's maybe at odds with the facts?
Well, we have to be careful with that anytime we have people we contact with a past criminal history, because it is the past. Although the past is a good indicator of the future, people can change. And we know that and understand that as we approach these calls. It is important for our officers to keep an open mind as they handle calls and with the information that they have available to them. But it's no different than if a caller called in to the department and provided information to a dispatcher that wasn't totally accurate. Officers use that information to make decisions, but they have to be very careful and keep an open mind in terms of information may not always be 100% accurate.
Chief Dyer, thanks so much.
I appreciate you having me on the show, John. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.